Hi, this is Nick Emmons, co-founder and CEO of Upshot. Let's explore the intersection of blockchain and AI together. You're on the edge of AI starship, your prime destination for a bite of the machine intelligence buffet. Keep listening.
Hello, AI podcast passengers. Jump on in. Here's what's to come on today's journey. Find out why this AI platform is transforming decentralized finance with a proof of alpha protocol and machine learning algorithms. How this self-taught full-stack developer made waves in the blockchain world at John Hancock, which led the charge in the adoption of public blockchain projects, and how this thriving hub of collective machine intelligence garnered support from some of the most influential funds in the industry. All this and more. Take your seats.
Welcome aboard the Edge of AI podcast. Snap into your safety belt and prepare to explore the depths of the rapidly expanding AI universe. Each episode is a dispatch featuring hyper-relevant reports from the pilots, pioneers, and passengers aboard the AI rocket ship. We explore the latest use cases and developments in AI, hear from experts building tech, and learn how this disruptive force is transforming industries and society.
Welcome aboard the Edge of AI podcast. Snap into your safety belt and prepare to explore the depths of the rapidly expanding AI universe. Each episode is a dispatch featuring hyper-relevant reports from the pilots, pioneers, and passengers aboard the AI rocket ship. We explore the latest use cases and developments in AI, hear from experts building the tech, empower you to enhance your life with AI, and learn how this disruptive force is transforming industries and society. I'm Ron Levy, your captain for today's voyage. Just like most of you, I've embraced the spirit of exploration throughout my life. From starting my own business before graduating high school to traversing the world's most challenging terrains, I've always sought for new frontiers. I built one of the largest award-winning custom home companies, and most recently, I've navigated complex regulations while founding and leading a public company that is dedicated to applying technology and training. Buckle up and get ready. Let's tackle uncharted territories in AI with curiosity as our guiding star. Today's episode features Nick Emmons, the visionary co-founder and CEO of Upshot. He's a self-taught full-stack developer. Nick's entrepreneurial journey began outside the traditional education pathways, leading him to become a leading figure in decentralized AI as well as blockchain technology. His impactful tenure at John Hancock, he was the lead blockchain engineer and marked one of the first forays by a major financial institution into public blockchain projects, revolutionizing their business models and cultivating key cross-industry partnerships. Upshot, under Nick's leadership, is at the forefront of the generation of DeFi. This New York-based decentralized AI platform is pioneering the creation of efficient financial markets for a diverse range of assets, utilizing the proof of alpha protocol and a blend of innovative crowdsourcing and advanced machine learning. Upshot is not just a network, but a growing hub of collective machine intelligence supported by some of the most influential funds in the industry and staffed by a global team of experts. Super powerful resume going on for Upshot as well as Nick himself. Welcome to the Edge of AI, Nick. You have an incredibly interesting position in the intersection of AI and blockchain, which are both my love. We have another podcast at the Edge of NFT, which focuses more on Web3, but today's conversation is going to be mainly focused on AI. So we're going to go straight into the first question, which is, share a bit about your journey from a self-taught developer to becoming a leader in AI, and what inspired you to take a bit of a renegade path?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, by the way. I guess what led me on that journey is not liking kind of structured education too much. I found myself growing up kind of just like teaching myself a lot. The internet has all of the world's information essentially, and so it's pretty easy to go down any rabbit hole and become kind of quite deep into any subject you'd like. And so I found myself doing that a lot in kind of crypto early on. I'd say I was kind of first exposed to the space in 2014-ish and just immediately fell down the rabbit hole of kind of learning what kind of the different parts of crypto were, the impact this kind of decentralized technology can have in sort of redefining the world's power structures, et cetera. And then that led me to working at John Hancock, where we were working on a bunch of work in the area of like decentralized insurance and mechanisms for pricing and pooling really long tail esoteric risk. And that eventually led to Upshot. And in building Upshot is when we kind of discovered that like blockchain and decentralized technology is actually quite symbiotic with AI and these kind of more capable expressive forms of compute. And it's been at that intersection we've been living for the past 2.5-3 years.
I think it's just fascinating because the crypto journey and the blockchain journey, two separate ones, they obviously work together, but two separate ones over the last decade or so has been an absolute fascinating path. And then you throw AI on top of it, it almost justifies why it all exists.
Exactly.
It's really exactly right. It's kind of crazy. So for our listeners who are new to Upshot, can you describe what sets Upshot apart in the tech world and its unique role in today's tech landscape?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's useful to kind of start with why we started Upshot to begin with. Upshot's mission is and always has been to build tooling and infrastructure to enable the creation of efficient financial markets for anything. And in sort of my time at John Hancock and sort of observations and just being in the crypto space for a long time, it becomes quite clear that there's sort of fundamental inefficiencies in the traditional operating models of many businesses and in sort of enabling markets to exist for different asset categories. And what blockchain does is it allows you to sort of programmatically define market infrastructure and different financial primitives such that you can more efficiently bring markets into a much broader scope of financial assets. And in other words, you can turn many more things that today are not like viable financial assets and leverage markets as a means of coordinating resources around them, eliciting sort of asymmetric information around them, et cetera. And Upshot has really been focused on tooling related to driving more efficiency to this long tail of assets. I think most of the world's assets that can be financialized have yet to be financialized because of these fundamental inefficiencies in today's or kind of the historical operating model. And so that's what we've been focused on. We've been focused on kind of building at the intersection of AI and crypto or blockchain to enable that financialization of anything, or this kind of hyper financialization, as we call it.
I want to bring what you just said into really basic levels for our listeners, both those that completely understand, but to also confirm that they're understanding it properly, but also for those that don't follow. And here's where I'm coming from. We're going to focus mostly on AI, but what you just said entertained crypto, blockchain, and AI. And tell me if I'm describing this right. The blockchain is the ledger we can all count on. They call it the trust machine, right? So when we talk about any transactions, if they happen on the blockchain, they're etched in stone, so to speak, theoretically, and mostly in reality. So that's the confirmation part. The crypto can exist because of the blockchain, and the crypto can allow for everything from micropayments to sizable transactions that get recorded on that blockchain. So it allows us to deal with something that is ultimately embedded into the blockchain. So that's a method of exchanging that value. Then on top of that, the markets you're describing, they do require a lot of data in order to serve those markets, whether in the art world, you're tracking artists like artists and the things they sell and how much they sold for, where they sold for, and all of that. So stocks could be stocks or anything else. There's just a mountain of data. Back in the day, we couldn't get enough of it. Now we get too much. So now we need the ability to sort through the data. So what you're doing, and this is a question I want to make sure I'm getting it. You're getting all this data into AI that is tremendous and able to service that through the blockchain. So things happen that can be tracked and then potentially even make the payment rails through crypto. Do I have that right?
That's mostly right. Yeah, the way I think about it is like blockchain and crypto I use somewhat synonymously. But like blockchain is this autonomous and decentralized coordination mechanism that enables us to coordinate in a much more efficient way with one another without a middleman and without all of the friction and additional overhead that comes with having people in the middle of coordination operations. And AI is the most kind of deflationary or expressive form of compute we've ever had access to. So in combination of a far more efficient coordination mechanism and a technology that can make sense of massive amounts of information in a very sophisticated and efficient way, we can start to create markets for a much broader set of society's assets and use markets to coordinate a much broader set of society's critical functions. Markets are the greatest coordination mechanism we have. And so being able to leverage them efficiently and viably across a much broader scope of what we define as things of interest to us makes for a more sort of like optimal society.
There's an ever-evolving relationship between finance and emerging technologies, right? And does that reflect your vision? Is that accurate?
I think we're moving towards an age of hyper-financialization where most things will be coordinated via markets as opposed to less efficient or less optimal mechanisms. I think governance will happen through markets. I think sort of information elicitation or truth discovery will happen through markets at a far more granular scale than it happens today. I think markets will essentially permeate every kind of critical point of coordination that exists in society.
Really big statement. So if I put you on the spot here and say, what is Upshot? And you have to answer in a couple of sentences. How would you answer that?
I would say Upshot is building a suite of different tools at the intersection of AI and crypto to create more efficient financial infrastructure, to create markets for a much broader set of society's assets, and to leverage markets in a far broader kind of set of society's critical functions.
Oh, that was really succinct. For a very complex subject, you kind of nailed it. Maybe explain how Robonet Vaults are integrating AI into DeFi and NFTs and what the advancement means for the average user in the digital finance space.
Sure. Yeah. So this takes a little bit of talking about crypto, but a really useful thing to come from crypto is that the innovations that are built in it are kind of permissionlessly composable out of the box. That means instead of needing to stand something up end to end to bring something to market, people can build these really tightly scoped kind of building blocks or Legos that can be permissionlessly combined with other Legos to create increasingly complex or expressive financial primitives. And one such set of primitives that sort of come out of the past few years of development in the crypto and blockchain space are these things known as vaults. So with vaults, people can deposit capital, and then the vault itself has a sort of capital management strategy defined such that as capital comes in from these external depositors, the strategy is continuously and autonomously managing that capital to generate yield, hopefully, for the depositors that brought capital. So it has this nice effect of kind of decoupling capital provisioning from capital management. I now don't need to stand up a fund or to be an LP in a fund or go through all of the kind of cumbersome operations to go from having capital to managing that capital in a profitable way. And same on the other side. I don't have to have an insight about how to generate yield from capital and then need to source a bunch of capital to do it via sort of setting up a fund or stuff like that. I can just kind of ping the global source of capital or liquidity that exists in the market. And so what AI affords in these kind of vault landscapes is the ability to give any depositor access to far more advanced strategies than what can just be defined in vaults today. Today in vaults, strategies have to be defined in the very limited compute environment that is a smart contract on a blockchain. And so the yield you can get from such a limited compute environment, the profit you can earn from that capital is limited as well. Whereas AI can make sense of massive amounts of information really efficiently in a really kind of sophisticated way, identifying opportunities for managing that capital in more effective ways than what can be codified in a smart contract. And so by bringing AI to these kind of vaults, and Robonet is one such kind of AI-powered vault platform, you can start to open up access to highly advanced AI capital management strategies to a permissionless pool of depositors. So that's kind of what RoboNet vaults are.
Well, I want to say you described tomorrow, but that tomorrow is already here. So it's pretty amazing. Talk about the integration of ZK Predictor and RoboNet. And it's a bit fascinating, and maybe even the use of ZK Snarks enhancing the reliability of the AI model.
Yes. So one innovation of kind of smart contracts in the blockchain space, I know we're talking a lot about blockchain, but I think some of the primitives are useful in kind of understanding where AI will fit into our future technological landscape. But one of the sort of innovations of smart contracts is that they allow us to sort of run arbitrary computational tasks in a deterministic and decentralized and open way. So I'm no longer trusting some black box server to run some command. I know that what is being coded and is what is sort of visible on the blockchain is in fact what's being run. And the problem that we just talked about is the blockchain and the sort of machines or computing machines that are the blockchains are very limited in how expressive they are. So you can only code like kind of primitive things. You're limited in scale significantly. And AI solves a lot of that. AI is the most deflationary technology we have access to. And so we can do really powerful computations with AI. But the problem is when you try to bring AI in that form factor to decentralized applications, you're again forced to trust this sort of black box operation. AI models today are largely black box form factors. We don't know what's running in them. And when we're talking about these decentralized permissionless applications, those black boxes pose a really significant threat. Maybe they're owned by an adversary. Maybe someone has some unknown financial incentive to manipulate a system that's integrating these things. At the end of the day, like decentralized applications and decentralized systems are only decentralized as their most centralized component. And so when you introduce a highly centralized component in unverifiable black box ML models, everything kind of becomes centralized. You lose most of the benefits of decentralization to begin with. And so a really interesting area of research that started to emerge recently is this area of ZKML. So leveraging new cryptographic tooling to verify that the output from a model has actually come from the advertised model, and doing so in a way that doesn't require anyone giving up any proprietary information about the underlying model. And so just as smart contracts have enabled us to sort of see what is going to be executed on chain in a deterministic way, ZKML allows us to achieve a similar level of verification in the ML models that are being run. And the thing that makes this a really new area of research and still somewhat experimental is ML models are very big and cryptographic operations like this are very expensive. And so historically, there haven't been kind of scalable or efficient enough solutions for verifying the output of really large ML models. And so in partnership with one of the leading ZKML projects in the space, Modulus Lab, we've been working on something we call ZK Predictor, which is a means of verifying ML models that are especially good at like financial modeling, price predictions, et cetera. And through a lot of Modulus Lab's innovation, has been able to finally achieve a scale that is kind of viable for production use. To give an idea of like where we are with scale of these things, it's still very early, but I believe before ZK Predictor, you could verify the outputs of about 12 outputs a day from ML models. So that's 12 ChatGPT responses or 12 price predictions, et cetera. And with ZK Predictor, you can verify the outputs of, I think, approaching 10,000 outputs per hour. So it's been a meaningful jump from where this sort of like ZKML forefront was before. And I think a very strong signal that we'll be moving towards an era of much more accountable and verifiable AI sooner rather than later.
So this goes back to the days when blockchain, half a dozen years ago, was really growing on a lot of levels. Auditing companies showed up, and these are companies that went in and audited the smart contracts on a blockchain to make sure that they were as described, right? Because you're always going to have some people that are either just wrong or they're bad actors and they're deceiving, right? So these auditing companies would do that, and some got renowned, and it was kind of like having their stamp of approval. And what you're describing is the next level of that, right? you can keep running it, right? And checking it in case anything's been added to the blockchain or any changes. So for those listeners that may be a little bit lost in the weeds here, this stuff's really important. If you don't understand it all now, that's just fine. But some of the stuff is going to trigger for you later, and we're all going to be touching the end products in these industries. And this is kind of self-policing. That's what's coming up here for me now. As you were talking, it's the industry putting in protections for those that use the technology. And now there's protections for the AI itself, because let's face it, we all went to AI and started using it, and it gave us some answers that were either wrong or scripted by a human as opposed to the machine itself. And you couldn't really rely on it. But what you're describing is advancement to the point where we will know the technologies we're interacting that we're interacting with are solid and sound.
Yeah, and I think one more important thing to note with ZKML is that it doesn't just apply to blockchains and crypto and decentralized AI. I think it's going to become an increasingly important part of AI in general. We're all having a lot of fun with LLMs and generative AI and chatbots right now, but as these things advance and become a more critical part of different societal functions, it's going to become increasingly important that we're not blindly trusting some black box is running the model that it says it is. We need to understand that a model that we're putting so much trust into, that's going to be managing such sort of crucial things in our lives, is the model that is being advertised. And the most secure way we can assure that is with cryptography, using kind of ZKML and these new advancements in cryptographic verification of AI to move past this sort of black box, trust us paradigm of interacting with different ML models.
Yeah, and ZKML and LLM and all those terms, for those of us in the business, that's normal. But ultimately, to the consumer, it's going to be the brand names, and they'll learn which ones they can trust, which ones they should use as their own police person to make sure everything's accurate. So it's the advancement of the industry that is going to take all of that on. But I'd suggest we're in an era of hyper-financialization. And how do you see AI not only enhancing market operations, but also making financial insights more accessible to more people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as we talked about a little earlier, I think markets are the most powerful coordination mechanism we have access to. And we have two really powerful primitives in pushing the forefront of what markets can be, how efficient they can be, what they can be applied to. And those two kind of paradigms or technologies are crypto and AI. Crypto allows us to programmatically define kind of efficient financial primitives that can run without a middleman in a decentralized and permissionless way. And AI is, again, the most deflationary and expressive technology we have access to. It can make sense of massive amounts of information really effectively, more effectively than any technology we've had up to now. And so I think the intersection of these two things is really powerful from a market perspective, in that it enables us to financialize most or a much larger set of society's assets. We can now start financializing things that maybe we didn't even think of as being a financial asset before. And it's useful to financialize those things because markets are the best way to sort of reveal truth or asymmetric information that different people have in a society in a kind of incentive aligned way. And so I think on the back of autonomous, permissionless market infrastructure and the power of AI is going to kick off this era of hyper-financialization, where as a society, we just become much more comfortable with our main means of interaction being through markets and our main means of coordination being through markets than maybe some less optimal or efficient mechanisms as we use today. I think, for example, like governance will move to being market-based. I think how we predict the future will move from polls to prediction markets. I think markets are just a much more optimal mechanism. Historically, their infrastructure has just not been efficient enough to support the long tail of types of problems. And I think that's changing with these two technologies hurtling towards each other.
Would it be wrong to take the word you've been using, which is markets, and go as far as just saying any exchange of value, which might be traditional markets that we're used to, but it could be the value an individual has to transfer to someone else?
Yeah, I think markets of the future, when we talk about the really long tail stuff and the really esoteric stuff, will look a bit different than they look today. I think it's a little tough to say how kind of what you're describing will take form more tangibly, but I do think that like markets has to be used somewhat abstractly or broadly when describing this kind of hyper financialized future.
Yeah, let's dig into that a little bit on how Upshot is using AI to decentralize predictive analytics. So let's move into the predictive world.
So basically, the AI is able to make sense of a lot of information and then be able to intelligently identify trends that may be useful in predicting the future as well. And so we do a lot of this in different sort of financial applications. So take a long tail asset, say like watches. We have price predictions for kind of tokenized watches that exist on the blockchain. And in order to create interesting kind of derivative market infrastructure around these assets, you need an efficient way to price them, to predict their price movements. And so we integrate with things like different lending protocols or perpetual protocols to better inform the terms of opening a long or short position or in taking out a loan against one of these watch assets. So now we know our models say the watch is the price of this watch or this basket of watches will be up by X percent a week from now or down by X percent a week from now. And we can inform the sort of terms that go into interacting with these kind of financial instruments related to those assets. And so it becomes a very critical piece of bringing long tail assets into our kind of like financial sphere and creating efficient financial coordination around them.
And this is the magic of AI, that it's not one and done, because those analytics, those predictive analytics, and its ability to take huge sets of data and just constantly update it and have it accurate, it's pretty significant. Let's jump into AI agents a little bit. So what role will they have in the prediction market? And is it going to influence societal understanding and participation? How does that combine?
Yeah, I think going back to the previous thing we were talking about around markets existing for a much broader set of long tail asset categories, I don't think humans are going to be the one interacting with those types of markets predominantly. I think the primary participant of these, especially long tail or kind of specific markets, will be AI agents of some kind. They are more efficient. They can make decisions on a much faster basis in a much more intelligent way. And so a lot of these long tail markets will be AI agents interacting with them. And I think there will be interesting kind of flavors of AI agents where maybe there's an AI agent with some particular worldview or some kind of like explicit bias that represents one sort of belief versus another. I think there's kind of worldview AI agents that could represent different people's tastes and then act on their behalf relative to those tastes. I think the same will happen in governance as well with AI agents. Each of us will have an AI agent sort of perfectly customized to our existing worldviews and then act on our behalf in a much higher touch set of kind of coordination mechanisms. So I think that's the role AI agents will have, is they will essentially be our actor in this broader set of financial markets that will exist in the future.
And do you agree that the future is pretty quickly here? I don't know if it's 12 months, but 24, 36, it's not going to take very long. Do you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah. I think things are moving quite rapidly, both in the like open financial infrastructure side of things and in AI. And so I think increasingly we'll see this kind of trajectory continue to accelerate.
So let's talk about MetaStreet. You've got a partnership with MetaStreet, and what does it mean for users on both of your platforms?
Yeah, so MetaStreet's a leading kind of decentralized lending protocol with a special focus on kind of long tail assets, NFTs, et cetera. So this is related to what I was referring to with the watch price feeds where we're creating, in that we have quite good predictive analytics via our ML infrastructure to price watches in real time, to predict price movements of watches. Watches are a meaningful market, but they often exist in sort of like the physical analog world. And by bringing them into a permissionless setting, we can create much more efficient and expressive financial infrastructure around them. And so bringing our predictive analytics around watches to a lending platform that coordinates borrowers and lenders in these long tail markets allows us to create a sort of global and efficient lending market for watches, something that existed before, but in a much higher friction instantiation. Now, instead of going to your sort of local pawn shop and having to stick with whatever terms they give you for a watch loan, you can plug into this decentralized source of artificial intelligence and this global pool of liquidity interacting through these decentralized protocols. So that's a lot of what we're doing with MetaStreet.
Super big deal. So if you looked ahead, what do you believe is the next big milestone for AI within the financial sector, especially in terms of market dynamics?
Sure. I think I'm a little biased here because this is the thing we're most focused on, but I think this sort of notion of collective intelligence is still a somewhat understated field of study in AI, but will have the greatest impact on the trajectory of AI. So right now, a lot of AI models are kind of built in silos. Even open source models, they're somewhat built in silos. Models aren't learning off of one another. They're not evaluating each other. There's not one model that is the best model at every task. I strongly believe we're moving towards a future where we have many models that are highly specialized in sort of specific task types or verticals. And so creating infrastructure that allows this kind of growing network of models to learn off of one another and improve based on sort of the competencies of other models in their network will drastically increase the sort of trajectory and rate of progression in the AI space. I think we'll get to a point where we're creating machine intelligence in a similar way to how we build open source software, where there is this kind of productive way to merge different insights or competencies across models, just as we do so with open source developers, to create a form of machine intelligence that is advancing at a much faster and much more decentralized rate than it is now.
And with that, you put on your own personal agents, the ones that we sign up for, utilize, learn off of us, we correct, and they refine to our personal points of view, biases, our interests. That's the layer. That's the filter layer that would attach to everything you're talking about and give us faith in using all of these things. What you've described is amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that will be a really kind of useful way where a kind of people capture value in the future. Everyone talks about what AI means for labor markets and things like that. AI is kind of hungry for data and for perspective and things like that. And I think largely our role in kind of broader labor markets will be to like help facilitate the improvement and learning of these different models. I think the best way to do it is via kind of joining these kind of networks of intelligence, fine-tuning agents and models based on our preferences, based on insights or data that we have. And that's largely how sort of we live symbiotically with AI in the future.
Fantastic. And with your history, so you've been deeply involved in cutting edge tech for a long time, but where we sit now, what aspect of your work excites you the most, and what future developments can our listeners look forward to?
I would say this like really nascent field of research of collective intelligence and allowing different forms of artificial intelligence to learn off of one another is the most exciting area of what we do. It's what excites me the most. It's what I see having one of the largest impacts in sort of the progression of AI and decentralized AI, this kind of intersection of blockchain and AI. And so I think that's what excites me the most. And I think continued advancements there is like the thing that people should look forward to the most, because that really does allow us to experience this sort of step function level of acceleration in the progression of AI in general. And as AI becomes better, we can inject it and sort of integrate it into a much broader set of things that we kind of interact with and find important in society. So,
and the snowball effect is fully in place because AI is developing AI, not on its own, or maybe it is, but I'm just referring to people now using AI as a tool to develop the next level of AI. So it's quickly kind of amazing. We're going to jump into the next segment, which is AI Wants to Know. AI is curious, and so are we. These are going to be 10 quick questions, and they're designed to uncover the intriguing human mysteries that AI longs to comprehend, but it can't quite grasp. So it's a snack break on the journey. Keep your answers quick. The safety belt sign, that's off. So if it feels right, we can occasionally roam about the cabin, exploring more of who you are and what makes you tick. You ready for this?
I guess so. Let's see how it goes.
Oh, it's a test, that's for sure. What's the first thing you ever remember being proud of?
That's a good question. I guess like figuring out how to ski, like really ski. I like skiing a lot. So maybe that's the first thing I remember being proud of. Started when I was pretty young.
Oh my gosh, you brought back a memory. I remember the first turn that was really carved without effort. I don't think you ever forget that, right?
Yeah.
What do you need help with that you wish you did not?
I would say staying organized with like little domestic things, knowing like staying on top of laundry, things like that. Just like staying organized with the little things in my day-to-day life.
Yeah. So what do others often look to you for help with?
I'd say direction, probably, like direction in terms of strategy and how we're thinking about different things as a company. So probably direction.
That's a good one. And it ties back to your coding. A has to go to B, to C, to D. You can't skip a step. So that makes sense. What do you treasure most about your human abilities?
I can run off very little sleep. I sleep very little, and I think it's an advantage right now.
Yeah, I'm reflecting on so much because the days just aren't long enough. Anybody working in these industries, from crypto to blockchain to AI, and I imagine the tech world before that, days don't end, but it's exciting. It's super exciting. I certainly get that. Throughout your whole life, what's the most consistent thing about you?
I'd say I am able to sort of lock into to different things and stay hyper focused for long periods of time, like spans of years and longer on things that I'm really interested in. So I'd value my like focus, my ability to focus on things.
All right, well, that's what stays consistent. So how about throughout your whole life, what has changed the most?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd say that's a good one, actually. Probably my ability to, this is kind of a lame answer, but I guess my ability to eat unhealthy and live and have really unhealthy habits and be able to bounce back from them. Like I now have to watch what I eat. I now have to work out regularly, et cetera. I can't just sit around all day. I think my body's just slowing down.
I always say every zero birthday, there's a reset. You can't do anything about that. So what do you find strangest about reality?
What do I find strangest about reality? That it's all kind of a game and a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of it's just a game, I guess. And a lot of people kind of buy into the game and see it as sort of like defined and structured, and that there's a lot of malleability to that game and reality being that game.
It's a good way of looking at it. It certainly makes a lot of sense, and it keeps you balanced and things exciting. So when do you most recently remember feeling alive? That feeling we all get every now and again, where you don't know exactly where it comes from, but it's usually event driven at some level. When's the last time you remember feeling alive like that?
I feel alive every day. But I think like more specifically, I think when we kind of made some meaningful, I guess, breakthroughs, for lack of a better term, and in this kind of problem of collective intelligence, there's nothing quite like that. And I'd say that's the last time there was like a meaningful feeling like that, outside of feeling alive every day anyway.
And what's your most unique trait?
That's a good question. I'd say the focus thing. I'm pretty good at focusing and zeroing in on things. So I'd go back to answer number 5 again.
All right. And if you weren't human, what would you be?
That's a good question. I guess I'd want to be an alien. I'd want to be like the next level up in intelligence. So I'll go with alien.
I think you're heading that way. I don't know about the alien. We'll go with the next level up. So I want to throw you a bonus question because it seems appropriate. But if you were to instantly solve one problem in Web3, AI or both of them, what would it be and why?
Probably AGI, right? That's what we're all trying for. So if it, yeah, solve general intelligence, artificial general intelligence.
All right. Well, we're now going to head to the next segment. So this is in regard to leaders and influencers of yours. If you can go ahead and highlight or tell us about some of the leaders you notice in the world of AI and tell us who you'd love to see, maybe even come on this podcast, influences that you've learned from.
I think it's difficult to point to like ultra specific people. I have like a sort of ambiguous idea of people I generally look up to and respect their the perspectives of. On the spot, I don't know if I could list names, but I think there's a lot of people building at the in really interesting kind of corners of AI, especially decentralized AI, and kind of pushing the forefront of some of the more like fundamental infrastructural pieces of like where AI will be most integrated in the world. And I think people who think about the like broader integration of market-based mechanisms and moving towards a much more kind of hyper-financialized or market-centric society, I tend to be aligned with in thinking. So kind of a cop-out answer, but that's what I have.
No, it's okay. It's general. I mean, this industry, it's so new and flourishing that the person that starts tomorrow, they could be the one that you're going to learn the most from. We just have to stay involved and get in. But how about a resource list? Is there any favorite resources you go to or that you follow or you track that you might be able to name for the listeners?
Yeah, I'd say just like being involved in the community, both the blockchain community and the AI community, and being tapped into this kind of constant feed of innovation and perspectives that are coming in. I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I spend a lot of time in sort of different Discord channels. I think there's really interesting stuff always in sort of like the lower level parts of projects, especially in these more technical stages of projects or technical sort of sectors of AI, living in developer docs or white papers or even GitHub repos, tends to have a lot of alpha and a lot of kind of interesting insights to pull from. So I try to get as low level as possible, but also just staying connected to the kind of constant stream of stuff coming out of the space.
Well, one company you mentioned earlier was Modulus Labs, and they're the first to make AI computations verifiable at scale. Would you suggest that is a good place for people to go to be picking up some knowledge?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think Modulus has done a lot of interesting work in pushing the sort of space of ZKML forward. I think there's, as you start to get into different sort of sectors of the AI space and the AIX crypto space, you start to kind of naturally identify who the sort of leaders in those categories are and who's really kind of pushing the space forward, and always kind of following individual projects progress is a great way to kind of get access to up-to-date information and are generally good resource hubs.
All right. And with that, can you tell us some cool ways that you use AI that we haven't explored today that you personally use?
I use AI in a lot of like financial market stuff. So like predicting as like we do quite well is like predicting price movements, valuations, like the movements of different financial markets that maybe aren't as kind of in the mainstream or kind of most liquid markets. So using AI to help inform interacting with prediction markets or different types of long tail markets, I guess, is what I do. I use AI a lot though. I use agents. I use chatbots just like getting one off advice on things.
A different use case. You described that before. Descript to help edit video content, totally different subject, but I know you're using that. Maybe you can speak to comparing Claude AI to ChatGPT a little bit.
Yes, I think it's always interesting to see where like different LLMs excel relative to one another. I think for a long time, Claude just took in larger prompts, and so you could often like get like more interesting long form response from Claude. I think ChatGPT has upped those prompt sizes and has kind of come back to the forefront. I think GPT-4 likely remains the best LLM today. But there are different benefits you get from different LLMs. And I think that's sort of a big data point that guides how I think about the future of AI, how we as a company think about the future of AI, is that there's not one model that's going to do everything best. I think we're going to live in a world of many models, and it's about finding the right model for whatever kind of use case or type of task you're looking to AI to support.
With that, where can listeners go to learn more about you and some of the projects that you're working on?
I think Twitter's a great place at Upshot HQ, our website at upshot.xyz. Those are probably the two best places. From there, you can get to our Discord, where is the primary place our community lives and where we share a really kind of constant stream of information and research we're doing. So I'd say those are the best places.
Nick Emmons, this has been fantastic. Thank you for all the knowledge you dropped on us. I think we learned a lot here. And you obviously have a deep knowledge of the different applications, and I can't thank you enough. But right now it's time for another safe landing at the outer edges of the AI universe. For today, this is your Captain Ron. And on behalf of our guests and the entire crew, I'd like to thank you for choosing to voyage with us today. We wish you a safe and enjoyable continuation of your journey. When you come back, make sure you bring a friend to our starship. It's always ready for more adventures. If you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now, rate us, and say something awesome. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and pass this episode on to a friend or two. Your support and your feedback mean the world to us. Don't forget to visit edgeofai.xyz, where you can learn more about partnering, and subscribe to the Outer Edge newsletter for all the latest Edge of company news, events, and show drops. In addition, connect with us on all major social platforms by searching edgeof_AI. Join the exciting conversations that are happening online. And before we sign off, mark your calendars for our next voyage, where we'll continue unraveling AI mysteries and advancements. And until then, goodbye.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of AI reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. While we make every effort to ensure that the information about AI technology is accurate and up to date, we cannot guarantee its accuracy, completeness, or timeliness. We make no representations or warranties of any kind with respect to the information, products, or services discussed. Please be aware AI may occasionally generate incorrect or misleading information and produce offensive or biased content. Under no circumstances shall we be liable for any loss or damage, including without limitation, indirect or consequential loss or damage, or any loss or damage arising from loss of data or profits arising out of or in connection with the use of technology discussed on our podcast. Additionally, our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. Lastly, time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of these links. Refer to our website, edgeofai.xyz, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, privacy policy, and copyright notice. The views and opinions expressed on Edge of AI reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. While we make every effort to ensure that the information about AI technology is accurate and up to date, we cannot guarantee its accuracy, completeness, or timeliness. We make no representations or warranties of any kind with respect to the information, products, or services discussed. Please be aware AI may occasionally generate incorrect or misleading information and produce offensive or biased content. Under no circumstances shall we be liable for any loss or damage, including without limitation, indirect or consequential loss or damage, or any loss or damage arising from loss of data or profits arising out of or in connection with the use of technology discussed on our podcast. Additionally, our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. Lastly, time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of these links. Refer to our website, edgeofai.xyz, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, privacy policy, and copyright notice.